The Pharisees mock Jesus. Lawyers looking for loopholes to trump him in the middle of his teachings. And every single time that they found a loophole, out came a parable to speak to the moment. I don't know about you. I don't have very many parables to tell people nowadays. I'm not the greatest at telling those kinds of things. But I'm here to tell you that I live by the word of experience. And I know that if God was God then, and if he's the same God now, that he's going to be the same God over there. James was a man that in his last days, they say, was pushed out of a high place of a temple, and he, when he fell to the ground, did not die, but ended up rising up and praying for those around him as they begin to destroy his life. I know that you know what I mean by destroy his life, and I'm here to tell you that no greater love than a man has than this, that he'll lay down his life for the behalf of another. There was a man by the name of Stephen that was doing nothing more than the will of God, and he faced stones one by one that took him out of this world. There was a man by the name of Paul that even though he could have been the guy that killed the Christian church, he was the one that built it up single-handedly, greater than anyone we've ever read in the entire Word of God. I'm here to tell you that the greatest blessings begin when you learn to be patient over a circumstance. Because if you give up, you're just going to have to deal with it again. Job was tested multiple times by his patience before he was blessed openly. There was something that had to be proven. You see, a crown isn't just precious by the gold it's ornated with. When we were walking around in the museums of Rome, and I actually got to behold a real crown, one that they wore in the olden days. Every kind of precious jewel that you could imagine, perfectly placed on this thing. And some would have stood there and said, wow, how beautiful this crown is. But you know what I was thinking about? When I looked at the jewels of that crown, I saw things that I'd been through. God, there was this time when I couldn't get off drugs that you brought me out. God, there was a time that I couldn't be saved, yet you saved me. There was a time when I was not going to graduate college, and God, you helped me to graduate. And God, when I didn't have a job, you gave me one. And when I wanted a better one, you gave me another. And when I wanted a better one, you gave me another. God, when I was depressed as a young man, you took depression out of my life and threw it far behind me in the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, when I desired to preach your word, you gave me the wisdom and the boldness to step out and do it without fear. So tonight I'm not walking with no empty crown. I'm not up here of my own strength or my own mind, but I'm here feeling something that is out of my body. It's an experience that's better felt than told. Do I have a witness in the house of God? Isn't anybody proud of what the Lord has done? Does anybody have any jewels in their crown? Are you able to say, God, I'm proud of who you are, and Lord, I know, and I'm thankful for what you've done? The crown, to those that did not know who the king was, represented a visual so that when it was beheld, people would understand that there was royalty amongst them. When a judge wears the black robe and comes in with his gavel, and everybody says, all rise, there's no doubt in your mind that when that man comes to sit down on the seat, that you are before a judge. When they say, here comes the President of the United States, everybody rises up. They stand there and clap for like 45 minutes till he finally gets to the front after all the handshakes and high fives that he does along the way. When people say that LeBron James is going back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, how many of you heard that news the past 2 weeks? And when you hear these things, everybody knows that there's something good and talented about him, and they recognize it, and they know that when they see him, that there's something good about him. Don't you know that you are a child of the king? You walk in royalty. You walk with a crown of life. When people see you, do they see royalty? Do they see that you're a child of royalty? Do they see the jewels that God has done for you? Or are you throwing them off and complaining about the next thing to come? Are you saying, God, I don't believe you can do it again? Are you not showing up at church and saying, they don't need me anyway? Are you saying, I've regretted all the years that I've served him? The enemy is coming to each and every one of us that's under the sound of my voice. Whether you believe it or not, he's going to come and knock at your door. He came and knocked at the door of Jesus at the wilderness. Even Jesus was tempted to give up when he was even on the cross. But there was still royalty that was shown, for he opened not his mouth. And innocence, when persecuted, brought forth salvation for the guilty. If we really, listen, if you won the lottery, you wouldn't just put it in the bank and never spend a dime. Never. If you won the Powerball, Kelly, right now, $200 million, I bet you can think of three things you'd probably buy. I know I would. That college debt I've got, it'd be the first thing to go. Then the next thing I'd do is I'd buy a car and spend enough money on the service that I'd never have to worry about ever taking it, getting it repaired, or brought back to me. Then I also thought about getting a lifetime membership at one of my favorite restaurants. I could just go in and eat and leave. That'd be awesome. If you had something that would bring those things to you, you wouldn't hide it. You'd go buy you a suit. You'd get you a Ferrari, and you'd be showing everybody that something is different. Now, I know that some of us are in rags, and some of us are in the ashes of all the things going on in our life. But I'm here to tell you that royalty is not defined by what the world says is valuable. But I'm here to tell you that out of the ashes beauty shall rise. That out of the desolate that blessing shall come. Out of the poor the rich shall be raised. Out of those that are dead life shall come out. Out of those that say they will never be saved, salvation comes for those who say they'll never believe. Out of atheism has came some of the greatest Christian writers that you may not even be aware of that you read today. Some of the greatest commentaries of the Bible have came from people that first originally said that they didn't believe. So don't tell me that God's not able to move. I was just a backwards country boy, grew up on the garden and the farm, didn't have much hope or aspirations. When I took an aptitude test, they told me I'd be a meter reader and probably nothing more. I wasn't the greatest at school when I was growing up, but there came a day in my life when God gave me the knowledge of everything I needed, and I graduated with a bachelor's, and I'm highly successful in this world, but it has nothing to do with me, and I'm not wearing anything to tell you that I'm something special, but I'm walking in royalty of what the Lord has done. I'm walking in his lordship. I'm clothed by his Holy Ghost. I walk by his anointing. I'm defined by his royalty. Every time that Jesus was reasoning with his disciples, he had to reassure them continually that the Father was in him. How could you be in the midst of miracles and still need reassurance? When my mama makes a good meal, if I even hear that she's going to fire it up, come hell or high water, I'll be at that table because I want those things that are good. I'm here to tell you, don't you dare settle for the devil's level. Don't you dare give up now. Don't you let go of believing. Don't you give up on what you're praying for. God has sent a messenger to you this night to tell you it's time to be patient. And it's time to hang on. This is the hour where we are being tested. This is the hour where the ones that will be raptured and the ones that will stay on this earth are being separated from one another. And it's not by the word of God only, but it's through the things that they give into that causes that division. I wish we could come in and just be on fire for God every night, but we have to be patient for it. We must learn that it doesn't come instantly. Sometimes it's at the very end. At 11:30 p.m. when God moves the greatest. And sometimes it doesn't come through us. Sometimes it doesn't come through the usual singers. Sometimes it comes when you least expect it, out of somebody that you wouldn't expect. There will come times when you and only you are going to have to say to yourself, either I'm going to get through this or I'm going to have to go through this again. Here's your revelation. For what is realized by liberty, you can never be put in bondage again. When you realize you're free from drugs, then the enemy cannot put back the same shackles that you once wore. When you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, when you feel the liberty, then nothing can take that from you. When you walk in His anointing and feel His power, nothing can steal God's blessings. But you have got to walk in liberty. That means walk in royalty, assuming your freedom. I don't have a literal crown tonight, but it's the only thing I'm proud of. I'm proud that I've prayed through. I'm proud, Doris, that I didn't quit preaching a long time ago. I'm glad that I'm still singing. I don't like hearing myself sing, but I'm glad I'm still singing. I'm glad that people didn't kill my ministry even before it began. I'm glad I hung on. But I'm not without things that try to cause me to stop, even today. And there's going to be things that come for you that without God, you won't be ready. And while God will have mercy and grace on you, you will not walk in freedom of it until you take your liberty. The liberty is provided by the Holy Ghost. You know that you're free when you feel God's presence. It confirms that which you say that you believe. Now, we did this last service, and I ask you to say that you are what you're praying for. That I am delivered. That I am happy. That I am walking in the fullness of His Spirit. That I shall see a difference be made. We can't start anything, finish any project, do anything, unless we're willing to endure. Because I'm here to tell you, without patience, you'll get sick and tired of hearing me. You'll get even tired of coming to church. And eventually bitterness sets in on people. I talk to people all the time that used to be the happiest Christians, and now they're the most miserable. And out of misery comes judgment. Anybody does anything good, they're like, well, who do they think they are getting up there and dancing for the Lord? Who do they think they are for getting up there and working in the gifts in front of everybody? There's a time and a place for everything, brother. It needs to get in order. Hey, listen to me right now. If you don't get your life in order, then all you'll be doing is talking about other people. And what pleasure will you find out of that? Nothing. For we are not the judge of others. But tonight, we're royalty. We are royalty. Our storehouse is full because His storehouse is full. My joy remains because His joy has not left me. My peace can be found every day because He has promised it to me. And I'm here to tell you that if you will not learn to seek God first, then it's going to be the merry-go-round of your life. You get so dizzy, can't even stand it. Let me close with this thought tonight. If you think that I have wasted your time, I'm sorry to hear that. If you think that there was another word for the hour, I'm sorry that you have endured this with me. But I'm here to tell you by the authority of the Holy Ghost that He has sent this for you to prepare you for what is ahead. For only out of the trial shall you walk with a greater crown. Only out of suffering will you find blessings to be greater. There is no get-rich-quick, praise Him and get everything formula. It's getting down where it's dirty and getting down where it's hard and just getting through it no matter what is coming at you, because we can do all things through Christ. Look over at somebody and say, wake up. He's giving the altar call. The Lord will not fail you in the hour when you need Him, but the Lord expects you not to fail Him in the hour when you are in need. He's looking for you to take a stand for your life. And if you need that reassurance and that strength to keep hanging on, this altar is open just for you. And as they sing, church, I want you to pray, and He'll give you strength right where you are. But if you need help, the altar is open so that the church can come with you and help you pray. Don't walk out of here and say that you didn't get an answer. It's dangerous to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Go out of here and know that God has supplied all our needs according to His riches and glory. He will be there for you. Will you be patient enough to hold on?